16, all these different people that Paul mentions. Most of them aren't familiar to us. He does send greeting to Priscilla and Aquila and the church in their house, and so those names stand out. But the others really are not that familiar to us. But I want to read one greeting that Paul gives, and we read in Romans chapter 16, verse 13. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Rufus, chosen in the Lord. There was something special about Rufus. Out of the list of 29 names, and then he mentioned some other groups. Well, Paul, there's only one that he says this about. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Apparently, his mother had acted like a mother to Paul, and so they were very close. But Rufus, he says, was chosen in the Lord. How many of you want to be chosen in the Lord? Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. I want to preach to you about that today. Chosen by God. Chosen by God. Would you pray and ask the Lord to just minister in a special way? Lord, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for how you're already moving in this service. We give you the praise and the glory, Lord. It all belongs to you. I pray that your hand would be upon our hearts today. Lord, we open them to what you want to do. Let the preaching of the word go forth with anointing, with power, Lord. Direct our lives, direct our hearts. We open ourselves up to what you want to do in our life. Have your way in us. And we give you praise, Lord, believing that at the end of this service, God, I'm headed to the altar today because I want to receive everything you have for me. Work in me, Lord. Move in me. I give you praise right now in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise today. Amen, amen. Please be seated today. God bless you. We all know what it's like to desire to be chosen. As children, we all wanted to be chosen for the team. How many of you remember standing on the playground in that, you know, awkward moment? You got two team captains, and they're picking their teams, and they're picking players one by one. And in that situation, you want your name called early. Nobody wants to be the last one standing, you know. We want to be chosen. As we get older, there's not really much that changes. We still want to be chosen. Chosen for the job. Chosen for the scholarship. Chosen for the promotion. For the relationship. For the opportunity. The culture of our world, it measures impressions. Followers. Likes. Shares. Are we popular enough to be chosen? Are we talented enough? Are we successful enough? That's our culture today. But when we study the choices that God makes, it's different than today's culture. Throughout the Bible, the choices that God made were often very surprising. God chose an elder shepherd named Abram to become the father of many nations. He chose Joseph, a hated younger brother, to save an entire people. He chose Moses, a fugitive from the law, who stuttered. He chose him to go before Pharaoh. And on and on. He chose Gideon, who saw himself as the least of all his poor family. He chose David, a forgotten shepherd boy, not even invited by his father to meet Samuel. He chose fishermen to be apostles. He chose a hater of the church named Saul to become one of the greatest missionaries that ever lived. Again and again, God has proven he does not choose those just who we might think would be the best qualified. He doesn't pick those who are the most popular. He doesn't select those just with the most talent. No, God has other criteria. He makes his choices by a different set of standards. Does anybody today want to be chosen by God? Hallelujah. Lord, choose me. Choose me. Pick me, Lord. Use me for your will. Use me for your purpose. Choose me today. And I know in this house, in a church that's on fire like this one, in this place, I know that there are people today you want more than anything to be chosen by God. You're willing to do whatever it takes to make that team. It doesn't matter what others decide to do. You've made up your mind today. I've got to be chosen. There's nothing more important. Lord, use me for your work. Work through me. Make me what you want to be. I must be chosen. I've got to be selected. Chosen by God. Somewhere along the way, people they've got the wrong idea about this process. They think that they're the one in the driver's seat. They want to, accept the Lord as their personal Savior, and they're the one that's choosing all of this. And where's that in the Bible anyway, In John, Jesus said, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." In John chapter 15, he says, "I'm the vine and you're the branches." If we will abide in the vine, then there's some great benefits that we get. We'll bring forth much fruit. That's a benefit. We will ask what we will, and it shall be done. We'll abide in his love. We'll have joy. We'll get to be his friends. It's neat. Read about all those. And then in John 15:16, he says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." We've got to find out today, what does it mean to be chosen by God? The man was thrown out. He was thrown out of the party. You see, people today, they just think they know how to party. In Bible times, the Jewish wedding feast was a celebration like no other. Jesus compared the kingdom of heaven to the most wonderful celebration that the Jews could imagine. He said a certain king invited people to the marriage of his son, but they would not come. And again, he invited others, but they made light of it. And some even killed the servants the king had sent to invite them. He responded swiftly with judgment, and then we read in Matthew 22, verse 8, it says, "Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage." So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. The king was determined not to have an empty banquet hall. He was determined that it would be full. And so all were invited, both bad and good. That's interesting. Both the bad and the good were invited. What a picture of grace today. What a picture of grace. The moment that we get to feeling like we deserve the goodness of God, like he owes us something, like we've earned our salvation. The moment that we get to thinking that we're something special and we don't have to have the grace and mercy of God, that's the moment we've missed it. I want to tell you, we're undeserving, but thank God for his grace. Thank God for his grace today. He opened up this opportunity to all kinds of people. Both the bad and the good. That's why he went after sinners. That's why he ministered to outcasts. That's why he reached for those who were hurting and broken. The Jewish religious leaders, they rejected him, but he reached for all, both the bad and the good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. Not those who were first invited, they were not worthy, but those in the highways, as many as were found. The wedding was full of guests. And reading on in Matthew chapter 22, verse 11, and when the king came in to see the guest, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This man came because he was invited. He wanted to enjoy the party, to eat at the feast. But the banquet was meant to honor the king's son. And this man could care less about that. He just wanted the blessings, but his heart was not really in it. You see, there's a lot of people today that's all they're looking for. They want the blessings. They want to enjoy the party. They want the advantages of coming to church and to bask in the anointing and the goodness of God. But they're not really interested in being chosen. They don't receive the plan of salvation. They don't want to turn away from the world. They don't want to be faithful. They're not really interested in holiness and separation. They want to enjoy all the blessings and the benefits that God gives. They just want to feel the moving of the Spirit of God and then just go back to their way of living and to take part in the blessings and favor of God, but no real commitment. We have to choose to be chosen. Turn to somebody, tell them, we've got to choose to be chosen. Thank you, Sister McCoy, for that little plug. I was telling her about what I was preaching. She said, you know, I believe we got to choose to be chosen. I'm going to use that. The call of God goes forth. The plan of salvation is preached. We're beckoned to come out of darkness into His marvelous light. But the choice of it is if we're chosen or not, it's up to us. Why did people not come to the wedding? Because they refused the invitation. Why did they not come? They weren't interested in being chosen. Why did the man not have on a wedding garment? Because he wasn't there for true relationship. He was just there for the benefits he might receive. He was just there for the boiled shrimp and the fried catfish and the, come on now. Or the green beans, as some might say, and the salad and the corn and the, yeah, amen. If you're wondering what I'm talking about, I'll tell you about that later. And so Jesus follows this story up with Matthew 22:14. He says, for many are called, but few are chosen. It's not enough just to be called. It's not enough just to be called. It's not enough just to hear that voice of God calling us. It's not enough just to feel the tug of His Spirit at the door of our heart. We've got to be chosen. We've got to answer the call. We've got to obey His voice. For many are called, but few are chosen. Everybody got the invitation. Both bad and good were invited. The difference was in how they responded. You see, chosen people respond. The tragedy was not that they were not invited. They were. Many are called. The tragedy was they were too busy with other things. They were distracted by all the things going on in their life, their business, their career, their possessions, their relationships. Those things were all more important to them, and so they didn't answer the king's call. Sometimes people will send me a text and I'll glance at it, and then I'm in the middle of something, and so I'm not able to text back right then, and so I go on about my day, and I forget about it. I leave them on read. Have you ever done that? You know, I don't respond because I was distracted. I'm sounding a wake-up call here today. Some of you are leaving the Lord on read. Come on, some of you got the text message, you got the call, but you were distracted with other things. There are more distractions in our world today than ever before. There's more going on in life. There's more for us to spend our time with than ever before. But we've got to find a way to rid ourselves of distractions. I don't want to miss the call of God. I don't want to miss the purpose He has for my life. I don't want to miss the voice of God that's saying, would you come up a little higher? Would you do more for my kingdom? Would you let me use you? Chosen people respond. The man came without a wedding garment. He wanted the king's blessing and he wanted to enjoy the party and all the benefits, but without honoring the king's requirements. You see, chosen people accept God's plan. Well, no, and I've got my plan. I've got my goals. I've got my dreams, and this is how it's going to be. This is what I'm going to do first, and then I'm going to do that, and then that's going to open up, and we start figuring all of this out. Well, if I say the right thing to this person, it might open up that door, and then I'll get to be that, and then I might get that award and that position, and so we strategize, and here's how it's all going to flow. And God, as long as you approve of my plan, I'm good. Let's do it. We're together in this. Let the will of God be done. But then all of a sudden God says, hold up just a second. I see what you got going on here, but I've got something better for you. Okay, God, I want better, yeah. And so that's when the trial comes, and we're like, well, hang on, Lord. I thought you said this was going to be better. And then we go through a time of suffering, and then there's this problem or this family situation or this trouble or this storm that comes. Or what, God, do you know where I'm at? I thought we had this all figured out and it was just going to be A-okay and there's going to be sunshine and music playing the whole way. And I thought that this was just going to be easy. Chosen people accept God's plan. There's sometimes I don't understand the plan of God. There's sometimes I would not have chosen this path. I don't want to have to go through some things. There's some trouble I'd rather do without. There's some storms I'd rather not ever experience. But in the mercy and the plan of God, He allows things because He is forming us. He is making us. He's got a purpose for us. I've come to preach to somebody today. Accept the plan of God for your life. Embrace the plan of God for your life. Lord, whatever you have for me, let your will be done. Let your purpose be accomplished. Come on, we got to get back to praying, and we can pray all we know what to pray about, and we say, God, do this and do that and open this door and make this way, but we better come back and say, nevertheless, Lord, not my will, but thine will be done, because you know what's best. You know where you're taking me. You know what the future holds for me, and I want the will of God. Amen. I believe I'm preaching to a group of people today that, yes, you've had some detours. Yes, you've gone through some storms, but you've got your eyes on the prize. Lord, let your will be done. I'm trusting in you. I'm banking on your word, Lord. I'm following you. Hallelujah. Throughout Scripture, garments represent righteousness. The man did not have on the wedding garment. You read Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10. It says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. God has a plan. God has a way. It's not our way. It's God's way. And chosen people accept the plan of God. They stop trying to live their own plan. They get in the Word of God and they do what it says. They choose to honor God with the way that they live and righteous living. You know, we can't just wear what we want and stay for the wedding. We've got to have a robe of righteousness. We've got to put on that wedding garment. We've got to accept the will of God. Now, being chosen is not just an experience. It's our identity. 1 Peter 2 and 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Hallelujah. Chosen people live differently. Chosen people, they don't live like everybody else. There's a difference. You can see it. You can feel it. There's evidence. They're different. They talk different. They walk different. They worship different. You look at somebody who's chosen, they don't just worship like the average, ordinary person, but there's a passion inside of them that says, I'm just so thankful to be here. I'm just so glad, Brother Madison, I get to be a part of the plan of God. Whatever it is, my small little part, I'm so thankful I get to come to the house of the Lord. I'm so glad I get to teach a Sunday school class. I'm glad I get to be an usher. I'm joyful about the fact that I can serve the Lord. Chosen people worship differently. Chosen people worship love differently. Chosen people forgive differently. We're a chosen generation. If there is no difference in our life living for God today than before we live for him, we've missed something. We've missed something somewhere. There should be a difference in us. Oh, come on. I know there's churches that don't preach that. And they work to, they might get a crowd, but chosen people live differently. They may have a lot of people coming, but oh, many are called, but few are chosen. I want to be chosen today. I want to be chosen today. Chosen people live differently. And chosen people remain faithful. There's a lot of people, they begin well. But it's how do we finish? That's what's important. Chosen people remain faithful. Judas was called, but he never surrendered fully. Demas worked, he once worked with Paul, but then he loved this present world. The Apostle Paul, however, he could say in 2 Timothy 4 and 7, he said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Chosen people stay faithful when it's not easy. They stay faithful. Oh, come on. If all that we have are times on the mountaintop, that really doesn't prove our faithfulness. But what do we do when we go through the valley? What about when there's a trial of our faith? What about when everybody looks at us and says, hey, you just might as well just give up. Just go ahead and quit. No, I'm going to be faithful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel like today the king is sending out invitations and the call is going forth. The banquet table is being prepared. His grace is available. His mercy is waiting. His spirit is calling. The question for us today is, will we answer? Will we put on that wedding garment? Will we surrender our life completely to him? Will we become one that says, I have been chosen by God? I'm closing today. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they each give us a glimpse of a man named Simon. It was customary for those being crucified to carry a cross piece of their cross. As they led Jesus to Golgotha, he must have fallen under the weight of the cross, exhausted because of the torture he had endured. So the soldiers, they forced a man named Simon to carry his cross. Matthew writes in verse 32 of chapter 27, And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. Luke writes in chapter 23, verse 26, and as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. Cyrene was a Greek settlement in North Africa. It had many Jews. And had Simon come to Jerusalem for the Passover? We don't exactly know. But on that day, he was chosen to bear the cross after Jesus. He literally followed Jesus carrying his cross. But there's also evidence to support that he became a disciple. You see, Simon literally fulfilled the words of Jesus in Mark 8:34. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. It was Charles Spurgeon who said, there are no crown wearers in heaven who are not cross bearers here below. Let him deny himself. What have we done lately to deny ourselves? What have we done lately to keep this flesh under control? Have we taken up our cross, or did we lay it down somewhere because it got too heavy? If we want to be chosen, we've got to take up our cross and follow him. The Gospel of Mark, it adds a little more information about this man named Simon than what Matthew and Luke give us. Reading in Mark chapter 15, verse 21, it says, and they compel one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. It is believed that Mark was writing about this in the year maybe 63 AD, about 30 years after the crucifixion of Jesus. The church now would have been 30 years old. And Mark was writing back, recording the events of the life of Jesus Christ. No doubt he was trying to convince people, putting into written form the proof of the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And he inserts this little fact here about Simon a Cyrenian, who was chosen to carry the cross for Jesus, and he's the father of Alexander and Rufus. The implication here is this: Simon, yes, the soldiers compelled him to carry the cross, but he became a follower of Jesus. And his sons were Alexander and Rufus. And as Mark writes his gospel 30 years later to prove the record of what happened, he brings up these names as evidence. He's proving what happened, and he says, yeah, you know what? Simon was there, and he carried the cross when Jesus stumbled. You know Simon. His sons are Alexander and Rufus. Surely Simon was not thrilled when he was seized out of the crowd and forced to carry a condemned man's cross. He had not come to Jerusalem expecting this. He was simply passing by. He was there for the Passover, perhaps. And now this ordinary day had become anything but ordinary. He didn't volunteer. He wasn't asked nicely. No, he was compelled to carry the cross. The rough wood would have been heavy and stained with blood. It was associated with shame and death. Yet no doubt somewhere along that painful walk, Simon, he looked into the face of Jesus, into the eyes of no criminal, but a Savior full of love and compassion. And what began as a major inconvenience in his day, it now became a divine appointment. The cross that he was chosen to carry. The cross that he was forced to bear. It became the greatest privilege of his life. And his life was forever changed. Oh, come on. What's our cross today? What's our cross today? Yes, I know it's heavy. I know it's inconvenient. I know it's not something that we choose. But here we are carrying this burden, this calling, this sacrifice. What will we do with our cross? Are we going to complain about it? Will we take the first opportunity we can to lay it down somewhere? Come on, we all have a calling on our lives. But it may not match up with the easy street that we want in our flesh. Are we going to miss out on the miracles God has for us because we're not willing to bear a cross? I've seen people get in such a hurry to get out of where they're at, to go find something easier, something more attractive, the grass greener on the other side, and to where they step away from the blessings that God has for them and the calling God has prepared for them. Oh, if we could see the cross today as a privilege. Paul wrote in Philippians 1:29, "For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake." And in Philippians 3:10, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death." Simon began that day as one man and ended it altogether different. And Mark writes that he was the father of Alexander and Rufus. Later, Paul's writing to the church in Rome. And he says in Romans 16:13, we read it today, "Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine." Simon, you didn't know it then, but that cross, that heavy cross, it was bloody. It was shameful. You were compelled to carry it. But that cross changed your entire family. And just look at your children. Look at what God did. Chosen in the Lord. Somebody today, they need to hear me. Don't you put down that cross. Don't complain about it. Don't get an attitude over it. Don't look for ways to cut corners on what God has for you to do. Don't look for a way that's easier. Don't trade in holiness and separation for what the world wants you to compromise. Come on, take up your cross and follow him. Take up your cross and follow him. Your family's dependent on you. It's not just about you, Simon, but you've got children that are coming along after you. Take up your cross. Take up your cross. Take up your cross. Amen, amen. Now, we don't know for sure, but it very well could be that this was the Rufus that was the son of Simon. There was a reason why Paul said, "Hey, you were chosen." And I know the soldiers, they seized Simon and pulled him out of the crowd to carry the cross. But I just believe that there was a plan of God in that. Many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. What if Simon would have refused that day? History would have never remembered his name. But for 2,000 years, believers have honored him. Because for a brief few moments, he shared the burden of Jesus. We're all going to stand where Simon was. We can see our cross as an interruption, an inconvenience, an injustice. We can recognize it as an invitation to identify with Jesus. I want the opportunity to be chosen today. What about you? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Here's what I feel in my spirit. There are people here today that the call of God is going forth. And we want to live for God. We want to do what God wants us to do. But there's some things God asks us that it's not comfortable to our flesh. I'm talking to some young men right now that you've got amazing potential.
But in your mind and in your flesh, you have plans and you have dreams and you have, well, this is how it's going to go. And I feel like God's saying, hold up just a minute. I've got a cross for you. I've got a cross for you. I feel like there's some young ladies today that you'd look out maybe at others and say, well, I wish I could do that, and I wish I had that career, and I wish I had that open door, and I wish, and we get all this stuff in our mind, and I'm not saying all those things are bad, but what about the cross? What about the purpose God has for you? I want to tell you what. I look at my children sometimes, and I think some of them, you know, they think, well, you know, I left my friends in Texas, and you know, I've got all this, and, yeah, but what about the cross? What about the gospel? What about the purpose God has for you? There was a time that our church went through some things, and God had blessed us. He had opened doors, and we lived in a wonderful house, and there was a time we had to change. Live in another house and had to share rooms, and we didn't have enough room for everybody, and it was a depressing place. Well, God, what are you doing? Sometimes there's a cross that takes us through some inconvenient times, but God has a purpose. God has a purpose. Amen. And there was a season there that we went through some things, but then there was a day that I remember we got a call, and hey, somebody's selling a house it was a neighbor of, well, Henry's neighbor was selling a house, and we got to connect with those people before they ever put it on the market. They gave us a miracle of a deal, and God worked the finances out, and it was a miracle. But for a time we had to go through some things. I don't know where you're at in that phase. Are you going through it? Are you coming out it? Or are you about to go in it? But I want to tell you, trust the plan of God today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want us to come around the altar today. And I don't want you to come and just cry and weep and kneel down. I want you to stand. And I want you just to surrender to God. We're going to lift our hands to surrender. Lord, your purpose, your will be done. I'll do whatever you want me to do, Lord. I'll be willing to carry a cross because I want to be chosen. I want to be chosen, Lord. I want to be worthy of being chosen by you to do your will, to accomplish your purpose, to do your plan for my life, Lord. Let your will be done in me. Let your purpose be accomplished in me. Oh, God, I want to be chosen today. I want to be chosen today. Lord, I'll teach a Bible study. I'll win souls. Lord, I'll answer the call that you have for my life. Lord, I just want to be chosen. I just want to be chosen today. Many are called, but few are chosen.